I'd like to start with asking a question. What determines the value of anything? What determines the worth of an object or a thing? Remember reading about the California Gold Rush. At that time, you could get a dozen eggs normally across the country for a couple pennies, and they were selling eggs for $1 a piece because there wasn't very many of them. They become valuable to the people that couldn't get them. There was a story about a few years ago in Major League Baseball. Oh, I imagine a baseball, you could probably go down to Walmart or Academy and buy a baseball, probably $4 or $5, I imagine. They're not very valuable. They make a lot of them. People have them everywhere. Major League Baseball game, they play hundreds of them, and they average about 50 or 60 balls a game they use. They're not worth a whole lot. But Roger Maris hit 61 home runs one season back in early 60s. And when a guy got up and hit that 62nd one, that $4 ball was worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. In a stroke, in a few seconds of flight, that ball went from a $4 ball to hundreds of thousands of dollars because somebody loved baseball and somebody had a passion and somebody wanted to set a trophy up and say, this is mine. And then somebody else went ahead and hit 63. In 64. And as it went, probably the one that went up came down and the next one hit was worth more. And it kept going. And somewhere there's a baseball out there that's number, I don't even know what it is. I don't keep up, to be honest with you. I'm not a baseball fan. And I don't keep up with numbers. But I do read these things. And there's a baseball that I don't know, about 73 or 71 or something, that's worth several $100,000 baseball. Can you imagine giving that much money for a baseball? But somebody did because they love it. And it become valuable to people. And to be able to say, I got it, means something to somebody. And so there's value in it. What do you have value in today? What's the important thing to you? And how much would you give for it? You know, most people think that love is a feel-good, gushy, set off into the corner and feel good about yourself idea. That's what love is. When I feel love, it's about what it makes me feel like and what I get from it. Do you know that's not love? That's not what love is. It has some to do with emotions. It brings emotions. But it's not really about that. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It's about what you're willing to give and the value that you place on it. You may not have gushy feelings about it, but it's what you're really willing to give for it. I'd like to read Scripture starting out this morning over in the 26th chapter of Matthew. In the 31st verse, it says, "Then saith Jesus to them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Oh, Peter, he put it out on the line, didn't he? All men might be offended by the Lord, but I love you and I'm going to stick with you, and there's nothing that's going to shake me off. You know, we can have some ideas about ourselves sometimes, and it's easy enough to get all excited about this Easter morning, and we think and realize that back in the history of time, Jesus arose from the dead and brought salvation to us, and we can look at that and see what you get from it and say, that's a something for me to really put out there, and yeah, I want to be a part of it. And Peter said, yeah, Lord, I've walked with you and saw what you've done and been with you, and I got my heart set on you, and there's no way that I'm going to be offended. There's no way that I'm going to walk away from you. But Jesus said, Anthony, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. They all said it. Lord, though we die, we're not going to deny you. Though we have to die with you. If they put you to death, we're going to be right there to do it with you. I think they meant that, don't you? I think that's what they really meant. But you know, the scripture had already said that Jesus was going to tread the winepress alone. This job he was going to do by himself. Peter miscalculated himself and how important it was to him at that time. There were still things in Peter at that time that was more important. His own life was important to him. He didn't realize it until the showdown come. But how much are you willing to give? And what do we give? How much do we give of ourselves? I'm reminded of a story. The Joplin tornado. I believe it was in the Walmart. There on 15th Street with the ceilings and stuff coming down in that. There was a woman there that had a baby, and the baby was in a carrier. And the ceilings was coming down, and everything was hectic. And the story was, she told of a big man that run over there and placed himself over top of that baby with this debris and all this stuff falling, and a lot of stuff fell down and covered this man. It didn't kill the man, but he did suffer injuries because he run over there and cast himself over this little baby in this carrier. And protected that baby until when it was all over and he come up out of there, they got him out of there, the baby was safe and secure inside of that. It brings feelings, it brings emotions. We look at that and honor it and think that's the flair of life. That's the spice of life. That's special that this man risked his own life. He gave his life, though he didn't die, he could have, and he gave it willing to give his life for this little baby there. I admire that, don't you? To me, it says what value the man had and what value he had for this little child. It wasn't his child. But there in a moment, something rose in this man that he said, this was worth protecting. It's worth defending. It's worth giving your life for. And he put himself over it. Wow. I admire that. Several years ago, well, actually it was 15 years ago this spring, we went down to Florida, Miami, Florida, for a meeting. And we got down there, the meeting was supposed to start and nobody came. For a good long time, nobody came. We was the only one in the parking lot. And we thought, well, what is this? Nobody's come to meeting. And time went, about an hour later, nobody was there. Finally, when somebody came, they brought the report that one of the congregational members, they had several children, and a couple of their daughters was playing along the canal bank there in Florida, and one of the girls fell off into the canal. Now, these canals are really deep. Some people seem like 30 feet deep in places. They're big canals. And one of these girls fell off of the steep bank into the canal, and she couldn't swim. So the other sister, they were little girls, the other sister jumps in to save the girl that was already in, but she couldn't swim either. So she jumps in to get the other one. And in the process, the other children were screaming, and a neighbor man runs over there. And he dives in, and he rescues one of the little girls, gets her out, and he dives down in to get the other little girl. And he fails to get her. And he drowned trying. He really tried. He didn't get her. She drowned. And he drowned too. It wasn't his children. I can't help from telling the story. I love to tell the story because I didn't know the man, but I honor him. And I lift him up for what he done, because he could have lived. He didn't have to do it. But something in him drove him to desperately try to save somebody else that wasn't his. He had no emotional ties, you could say, to it, other than it was a precious little girl. And he tried his best to get her. And in all of his effort, he failed. But he tried. He gave his life for it. I think that that's love. I think that's what the Lord wants to express to us. Peter thought that he had that and could do it. But if you read the rest of this, Peter failed. And when he failed, he went away and wept bitterly for the failure. He didn't want to fail in doing it. He didn't quite have what it took at the time to do it. But I'm going to tell you, Peter ended up having what it took. He went on and had what it took. He gave his life to the Lord. History says that Peter come to the time of his crucifixion. When they was crucifying Peter, that Peter said, asked them not to crucify him upside down, because he didn't feel worthy. And history says that Peter was martyred and he was crucified upside down by his own choice, because he didn't feel worthy to do it like the Lord did. Because he had been a failure at one time, and he wanted to say to the Lord, "Lord, I love you and I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you the ultimate of my life. I'm going to give you my life. And I'm willing if need be to die for you." There was a story of a butcher. And the butcher butchered all kind of animals. He butchered beef. He butchered hogs. They were always fighting and screaming. They was trying to pull them. They'd twist their tails and all this. And they was fighting against him. And he had butchered. And he said it never bothered him. It never bothered him to kill these animals and to butcher them. They were food. That's what butchers do. And there was all kind of gore in this. You imagine what butchering is if you've ever done it. And then one day he was butchering a lamb. And this was the story of the butcher. That the lamb was brought in, and it come in willingly, gently, softly. He got the lamb and he got his big knife. And as the process is, he cut its throat. And when he cut its throat, he said that the lamb just standing there looks up at the butcher, and the lamb's looking at him while his life is leaving him. And the lamb starts licking the butcher's hands. He starts licking the blood, his own blood, off of the butcher's hand and licking it away and cleaning his hand. And the butcher said, this was the story of the butcher. The butcher said, "I could not go on butchering after that. I had to change professions. I was touched too much by this incident." And it was told to relate what gentleness was. You can hate in those kind of times. You can fight. You can kick. You can squall. But the resignation and willingness to go and do it was represented there in a lamb. The value of anything, folks, is in what we're willing to give for it. How valuable is your wife, brother? How valuable today is your husband, sisters? How valuable is your parents? How valuable is your children? How valuable is your neighbor? Is all determined by what you'd be willing to give for it. Another scripture I want to look at over in John, the 15th chapter. Oh, let's see, 15. Twelve says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you." You know, that's quite a commandment. Jesus said, it's always said through the scriptures about love, that you should love one another. But Jesus comes in and says, "I'm going to give you," and in one place it says, "I'm going to give you a new commandment. That you love one another as I have loved you." Now it's a different idea. Because it used to be, you have heard of old, to love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But now Jesus comes in and says, "I'm going to give unto you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you." Now, Jesus went beyond the idea of loving because you're loved. Jesus went to the idea of love because you're loved. Love because you got love in you. Love because you find value with the object of your love. You would say, what are you worth today? You may look at yourself and say, I ain't worth very much. Well, that would be a humble way of looking at yourself. But we'll give you another idea. You was loved. You're worth enough for Jesus to die for you. Jesus put a lot of worth on you today. A lot of worth. You are worth to Jesus His life. He died for you. And He says in this scripture, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Not as it was said before, but as I have loved you. I've loved you perfectly. I've given you all. I give you the best. Jesus not only died for us, folks, but Jesus lived for us. You know, that's quite a difference. I mean, see, it's added to it. He actually lived for us. I didn't say, well, I'm willing to die for my wife. I think I would. But am I willing to live for her? Understand the difference? Death may be a long ways off. I may not have to ransom myself for my wife. But every day I could open the door for her. Every day I can lend her a hand. Every day I can be kind to her. Every day I can treat her special. Every day I can give my life to her. Every day I can give my life to my children. Every day I can treat them with respect and honor. Every day I can live for them. Every day I can live for my brethren. Every day I can give to you. Every day I can humble for you. Jesus lived for us. Not only died for us, He gave His all. He died out to His fleshly man. How valuable are the things that you love today? Are they valuable enough to live for? Are they valuable enough to die for? Are you willing to give for it? This scripture says, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. No greater love. There is no greater way of expressing the value that you have in something. There's no greater way of expressing the love that you have for someone than to be willing to die. There's a story. Adam Clark tells it with this scripture. It's about a king, a couple of kings, Cyrus and Tigranes. Tyrus overtakes the other king and captures his family and his wife. And he asks this king, what would you be willing to give me for your wife? And he says, everything I have. What would you be willing to be in the company of your family again? What would you give? He says, everything. He said, well, what would you ransom for your wife? And he said, I will give my life if you'll free her, that she won't be a slave to you. You know, even to death, he loved his wife to the point that he said, I would give my life to ransom her from you. I don't know about you, but those things touch me. It says that there's something, there's a spice about life that makes things right, makes it important, makes it valuable. We can go deeper. The world that we live in today, look at love, and to be honest with you, love is lost in the world. They don't even understand what love really is. To really devote, to really to give. Love is spoken of so freely, so easily, without much depth and meaning, to really say, I will sacrifice myself for this. I will sacrifice myself to you. Another story he reveals is of two close friends in battle. They were battling, but they were brothers, they were close, they were friends. And one gets captured by the enemy in the battle. And they take him and have him prisoner and they have him tied. And the other one is out into the woods in the brush, and he's there trying to defend and fight, and he's throwing javelins, and he's killing some of the other of the enemy, and he's trying to get his friend. And finally, they couldn't get him, so they said, okay, We'll just kill his friend. We'll just kill him. We got him. We'll kill him. They pull their swords to kill him, and he jumps out of the woods and said, "Me, me, turn your swords on me. Don't harm him. It was my folly. Take my life." Well, again, I don't know about you, but what man would give his own life for his friend? The reason this is important, folks, is because there is something that we need to be driven by in our lives. Jesus died for us. Jesus gave his life for us. And oh, how little we think about it. How little we give ourselves to it. How little we really value what he really did. Jesus gave his life. No greater love as any man than he would lay his life down for his friend. This is the epitome. This is the greatest. What more can you do? You can take somebody out to dinner. You can buy flowers. You can do all those things. You can try to make amends of a lot of things. But are you willing to die out to yourself? It's more, see, God owns death, natural death. God owns that. God's going to take us out of here, and there's nothing we can do about that. We could give our natural lives, and this is part of this. But there's something much deeper than that. Are you willing to die out to yourself? Die out to your own ambitions, your own will, your own ways. Are you willing to die out to your own self for something else, something greater, somebody else? Willing to die out when I want to go do something? You know, I found out that and realized that we'll pretty much do what we want to do. I've heard people say, "Oh, I'm just too tired to go to service." Okay. How tired do you have to be? I mean, I've pushed myself before and been pretty tired. But I don't think I've ever pushed myself to be so tired that I wouldn't do what I really love to do. But it's pretty easy to get tired enough not to go to service if you're not really desiring to go. I remember one time, my first wife and I, she passed away, but I come home and we lived a few miles from her parents, and I come home, worked all day, I was tired. Oh, I was tired. Come home and she said, I'd like to go over to my mom's. And I said, "You got to be kidding. I mean, I've worked all day. And I'm tired." Well, she says, "Well, I've been here all day. And I'd like to go visit my mom." Well, now you can imagine there was a little bit of a, you know, a difference of opinion here all of a sudden. And I'm saying, "Well, I've worked all day. You know, to have him drag me over, I don't think it's fair. I'm tired." And while this conversation was going on, I had a little old dog. I was trying to train him to be a squirrel dog. Up there you get these squirrel dogs, and they're real good at treeing squirrels, and we squirrel hunt, and it's a really fun thing to do. And I had this little squirrel dog, and he just had to do this. But he started barking up on the hill. Now, where you live, there was quite a steep hill behind us, and that dog started barking back up the hill up there. And anybody that knows that you're training your dogs, what the dog, when he starts barking, what the dog's saying is, "Master, I got a squirrel, come up here." And then and the master don't get there, the dog getting the idea that he gets the wrong idea. So you want, when you're training, you want, when he barks you to the tree. And so you come up, and the dog realizes that if he barks long enough, that he can get his master to the tree, and that's what squirrel hunting's all about. So I'm awfully tired until the dog starts barking. And I have a certain passion towards those kind of things, and I really want to go up there and train that dog. And so up the hill I go, as tired as I was. Can you imagine? As tired as I was. But all of a sudden, I had a second wind, a boost to get me up the hill. And so up the hill I go. So I go up the hill and do what I have to do and come back down and get in the car and go to mother-in-law's. because I really had enough energy to go do that if I wanted to do it. If I loved mother-in-laws as much as I loved going up the hill for the squirrel dog, wouldn't have been an argument to start with. I'd have come home, got cleaned up, and went there anyway. But it's what we have a passion and a desire for. You understand? We know that. Maybe it needs to be explained from time and time, but we know we give to what we love to do. We know we have passion for that kind of a thing. One man wrote one time, he said he could tell what anybody loved just by going and seeing what they pay their money for. He said, I can tell you what a man's passion, anybody's passion is. Just let me see your receipts and let me see what you buy. And if you're a man that buys golf clubs and golf balls and golf tees and you have a membership at the golf club and you spend the weekends there and there's your money written down there, that guy would say, this man loves golf. That's what he loves. That's what his passion is. And if you go and he's got bow and he's got arrows and he's got guns and he does all this and he's got tree stands and feeders and all that and all that, and you'd say, this man loves to hunt. Right? Because it's our passion. It's what we want to do. It's where we put our interest at. Lord help us. Over in the book, second book of Corinthians, the fifth chapter, we'll pick it up at 12th verse, for we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then all were dead. Understand the logic? There was nobody that would doubt in the Christian world, probably forever, that Christ's death wasn't for all. Christ died for all. That's very well founded. So then it's perfect logic that if Christ died for all, then all were dead. And all needed to live. But that puts us all in the same boat. And there's no, in this situation, then there's no idea of maybe we'll put one above the other or lift up, or it isn't something that somebody of an ancestry does better or anything like that. Christ died for all because all were dead. God, He gave Himself. He gave Himself. It is what it's all about, to give ourselves. Lord, help us today. If we're interested in serving the Lord, there's only one way to do it. It's selflessly. It's to give ourselves, to be willing to die to ourselves, our own ambitions, our own ways, our wants, what we want about a life. It's not about that. It's about God now. It's about Jesus. It's about, I love the Lord. I want to see His kingdom prosper above my own prosperity. He says here that the love of Christ constraineth us. In other words, I do because the love of Christ in my heart. It's because not only my love to Him, which can be fragile, but His love to me. You know, Jesus' love went beyond the friendship. When Jesus died, He died for all. They weren't friends. While we were yet in sin, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were everything that He's not, that's love. That's value. He placed value on mankind. He placed value on you. You are a valuable, valuable person to God. He gave His life for you. That's valuable. He raised your value from a $4 possession unto unlimitedness. You're valuable. He gave His life. It's the love of Christ that constraineth us. To think of why I don't go, you know, I know we have the peer pressures and the normal what do people think about us type thing. We do. I mean, I don't want to disappoint any of the saints or people that have confidence in my life. I wouldn't want to disappoint them. I wouldn't. But I'd hate to think that's the only reason why I do what I do. You know, there is a reason why that I do what I do. There's places that I don't go. There's a reason I don't go there. It's because the love of Christ constraineth me. I don't want to disappoint that one that gave so much for me. I don't want to disappoint that. I don't want to be what he's not. There's things that I don't listen to. And I don't do it. You know what? I could be a hypocrite. I could sneak around and do it. I could get off by myself somewhere and do it. And you all wouldn't know about it, so it wouldn't hurt you. But I don't do it anyway. You know why? Because the love of Christ constraineth me. That's why I do it. I don't do those things. I don't behave there. I only got one Santa Claus. I don't have two different closets under me. I do everything. And I don't just win the saints around. And there's a reason why I do everything that I do. There's a reason why I do it. And it's because the love of Christ constraineth me. It's because I want to be found pleasing to him. And I want to show the Lord, Lord, you've done so much to me. A little self-sacrifice, a little denial won't hurt me any. Lord, help me to be able to do it. I want the grace to be able to do it because the love of Christ constrained us. You know, that's the way it should be in our lives. I remember a guy gave me a shirt one time, and I just thought this was a funny little thing. But he had a shirt. It was a real nice shirt. It was a polo shirt. And he gave me that polo shirt, and it had a polo emblem right there, and it was not even color. It was the same color as the shirt, but it was a thread. It was knitted in, or whatever you call it. It was a little embroidered in, a little polo thing right there. And when he gave me the shirt, he says, I don't know if your church will let you wear this with this emblem on it. I thought that was the funniest thing to say. I don't know if your church will let you. I don't know if anybody went around saying whether I could or I couldn't or may. I know there were some thoughts this way or that way, but to say they said it couldn't because I never really measured anything that way. When I looked at it, I always think, I want to be pleasing to the Lord here. The love of Christ constrains me in the way I do things and what I do because he's meaningful to me. It meant something that I got saved. I'm glad that the Lord died for me. I know it's a hideous, hard thing, but I'm glad the Lord died for me. I'm glad to be saved. I want to give the Lord what I can give, and the most valuable thing in my life is my salvation. I love my wife, and she's second in my life, but she has to be second because I love the Lord more. And the thing that keeps our life what it is because of the Lord. So it's the love of Christ that constraineth me. While I was a sinner, folks, while I was down and out, while I was doing wrong, it was like the lamb that licked the man's hand. The Lord ministered to me in his dying. With compassion and love, he witnessed his love to us. Because there is no greater. How could you say you love somebody and what more could you give them? If you wanted to give them the ultimate, what could you do to prove that you love them? Give them your life. That's all you could do. That's the best. You can't go no farther. And that's what Jesus did. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Perfect logic. Get his logic? Christ died for all, because all were dead. And when all was dead and made alive again, then all should live to the one that brought life to them. They owed it. It's their responsibility now that they shouldn't live to themselves because they were dead. And now they brought to life, they should spend that life living for the one that brought them to life. And that's what the Lord wants to do for us. He wants to constrain us by his love and make it easy. You know, one of our songs is in our book is Love is Freedom's Law. You know, that's so true. You're never really free until you're doing what you love to do. And when you're doing what you love to do, you're absolutely free. There is no bondage in doing what you want to do. There's one of our brothers up in the congregation. You ask him, would you like a bowl of ice cream? Now, he likes ice cream. And his expression is, well, twist my arm. Now, I know Jamie knows who I'm talking about. Because he'll say, twist my arm. Like, oh, yeah, I've got to twist your arm. He want to make you have ice cream. Well, hey, would you like seconds? He'll say, twist my arm. What he say? You don't have to twist my arm. Yeah, give it to me. Because I like it. Because I like it. Love is freedom's law, folks. When we're in love with a thing, it's free to do it. We want to do it. It's what our passion is. It's what our desire is. That's what we want to do. If you're here today and you're finding your experience dragging, you're finding your experience not up to really want to do it. I don't really even enjoy services. I don't really enjoy prayer. I don't get anything out of it. I don't enjoy the scriptures. I don't really do anything about it. Check this idea of how much you love it. Because when you love it, you're free. There was a song that says, I go wherever I want to. You talk about freedom? I go wherever I want to, and I do whatsoever I please. Now, that's quite a statement. Do you know I can testify to that? I go wherever I want to. Oh, Brother Marty, you go every... Yes, I go every place I want to go. And I do whatever I want to do. Well, where I go is the camp meetings and revivals. And what I do, go to services. And what I do is what I love to do. And you know something else? Every once in a while, I go fishing too. I go wherever I want to. And I do whatever I please. And I find it perfectly liberating. It's freedom. And somebody will say sometimes, will you go over here? Well, I don't want to go over there. Why? Your church won't let you? It isn't about my church not letting me. I go wherever I want to. And I don't want to go over there. Hey, you ought to watch this, one guy said. Hey, I know this. You ought to watch this. This is a real good thing. I don't watch that. Oh, your church don't let you watch it? No, the church didn't say nothing about me watching it. I'm constrained. I don't want to watch that. I don't want that in my mind. I don't want that in my soul, that kind of stuff. I want what the Lord wants in my life. I want to prove to Him as best I can. I may never get the opportunity to be crucified upside down. But I want to show Him with my life, you sure are valuable to me. I appreciate that you gave your life. I appreciate that. Want to look at another scripture? In the 10th chapter of Matthew. Oh, let's see, 10. Thirty-seventh verse says, He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. And he that taketh not his cross. A cross. You got one? You know what a cross is for? Brother Darrell Johnson said one time, people like to carry their crosses. Oh, look at me, he said. I got a cross. There is a cross for everyone, and there is a cross for me. And you pack the cross around, he said. I'm carrying my cross. Oh, I want everybody to see what a heavy load and a heavy burden and a heavy cross I bear. That's not what a cross is for. Well, he says take up your cross, but there's a place you got to do it there. There's something across the emblem of death, the emblem of death and shame, the emblem of suffering, the emblem of willingness to self-denial. You know, Jesus, the old song says, it wasn't the nails that held him there. Jesus' sacrifice was totally willing. He bore his cross too, the scripture says, and he bearing his cross. And this is what this is actually talking about. All the malefactors, the criminals in that time that was going to crucifixion was made to carry their cross. It was part of their thing. You carry your cross, and you take your cross with you. And Jesus says, unless you take up your cross, you're not worthy of me. Unless you're willing to die to yourself. And again, this is, I realize that there's an idea of dying naturally. We'll all die. And some people's had to prove that in a natural sense. But I'm here more this morning thinking about in the sense of self-denial in our lives. Being willing to self-denial. To die out to myself. To the things that I ought to. To be the better person that I ought to be. I'd like to think that I would be a guy that would save the child or fall over the one in the tornado. or reach out to someone? Or did I like to think I was hero material, if you want to say that. Not that I want to be a hero, but I like to think that I have it in me. Back in, I think it was the Civil War days, the country was desperate for morale, and so they instituted Congressional Medal of Honor. And I think it was 8 criteria to that, to soldiers. You had to be self-sacrificing. You had to endanger your own life. You had to preserve the life of your fellow. It was like 8 criteria that they went through. And then they had a panel that judged it when a case was brought. It had to be witnessed by so many. The bravery and all these things. And when it come down to the end of it and they would say, yes, this man qualifies and we're going to give him the highest honor of the nation, the Congressional Medal of Honor. This man went beyond and above his call of duty. He didn't have to do it, but he went out and he saved others and he acted this way. And when it's all said and done, they destroy all papers, evidences, everything that was brought. They destroy it all. So there was never any gainsaying about it. It's forever settled. You can't go back and re-argue it and say, well, what was the information? It was all settled, and it's done. And now it's settled so that it will forever be settled as something that was valuable. You know, I admire people that have done it. I admire people that have given themselves and sacrificed to it. And I want to be, and the Lord help me, but I want to be as self-sacrificing. I want to be able to be what the Lord would have me to be. And I want it to be able to be given to the ones that I'm claiming to care about. And who is it that we claim to care about? We care about our family. I care about my wife, my children. That's a little more than that. I care about the congregation. I care about the people I witness with. It gets a little sticky now. It can get sticky in the family. But then congregational matters. Just can't be quiet. Got to have my own way. You want the ceiling fan with the 5 blades? I want the one with the 4. You want the lights with the brighter? I want them dimmer. You want the air higher? I want them lower. You want to be warmer? I want to be colder. I'll stay and get my way. Lord, help us. You want it one way? I want another. You want a building project? I want to spend the money. You want that? I want that. I got to have my way, and I'm going to fight to the end until I get it. Lord, help us. Jesus showed us a perfect way of self-denial and giving to one another, that we would love one another and give. You know, he had a purpose. This day is called Easter. Jesus had a purpose for coming and doing what he did. It's because mankind was all lost. They were all dead. And he come and died. And he said of himself, unless a corner of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, and he was speaking of himself. You know there's a process. I see it because it says it has to fall. It has to fall. It goes from its elevation, but it falls. It's the first place it gets as low as it can. Gravity is where it falls. And then it starts deteriorating. It dies, it corrupts. But then it's going to jump, and it's going to bring forth fruit. And he said, unless it corner of wheat falls and dies, it abides alone. I don't want to be alone. I don't want to be alone. I want to have the deepest relationships that I can have in my life, full in love. And I want it to be in what it should be. See, I have a congregation too. We have a congregation. We get along. Everybody's there. It's good. Thank the Lord. But it extends farther than my congregation. It extends out to my neighbors in my community, around about me. You know, I found out something, and I think this is so beautiful. I'm talking about people that don't know the Lord. I have a neighbor right across from me, man. He's been a hard man. He's been an alcoholic, and he's done well. He went to some rehabilitation, and he's off the alcohol and stuff. And we're friends and all. And this past year, I had got a four wheeler with a snow blade on it. We had a lot of snow, and every time I'd plow my driveway, I'd plow his. And I noticed one day, I looked out the window after plowing his drive, and looked out the window, and here he comes over there with this big long handled broom, and he comes over to my and starts sweeping my van off. And I looked out there and I thought, that's nice. I really didn't want my van swept off. Because he was sweeping it right back off and it was making a pile. I mean, we had two feet of snow. So, I mean, I thought if it melts on the van, and what I really had in mind is let it go. And then I was going to take off down the highway about 60 miles an hour and blow it off down the road. I didn't want it there. But he responded to kindness. And then I was plowing at the chapel, and I plowed down this guy's lane. And he, in all the years I've been here, I don't know that this man's ever done. He's got this little tractor that he plows his lane with, and so on the four-wheeler I plowed his lane back. And when he come, and the next day when it was down there, he come up with his tractor and was supposed to stop, and he come over and cleaned our sidewalks off. He was responding. He was responding to what I had done. When we do things selfishly, it don't work that way. Lord, help us to realize that the Lord has given us something special in this. And it is to go farther than just me and my wife. And I need to work hard on that. But it goes farther than me and my children. It goes farther than me and the congregation. It goes farther than just the local people around. It's a contagious idea. Lord, help us to give Christian love wherever we're at and be self-denying, that they can see that isn't all about me, that I'm willing to give to you. Do you know it's one of the easiest things to see is selfishness? People look and they'll see selfishness in us. But when we deny ourselves and are willing to give to those that are around us, we fulfill what Jesus did. He started it. And he wants us to be a partaker of what he done, then look and say, I owe the same thing. It wouldn't do you any good. It wouldn't save you for me to die on a cross for you. It wouldn't do you a bit of good, but it might help you if I'll pick your trash up for you. It might help you if I'll give a gentle word to you. It might help you even when you're having a bad day that I'll encourage you. It'd be a good thing for us to be like that little lamb was. Maybe my neighbor did put the knife to me, but I'm not going to put the knife back. I'll get him, though. He's going to have something to think about, because he ain't going to have blood on his hands when he gets back to the house. And he's going to have to remember that. So, Lord, help us today. I want to be faithful. You pray for me.